Edwin, High King of Britain, by Eduardo Albert. Music by Floss Harmonicus, read by Harriet Whitbread. A passage from Chapter 1. The sound came to him over the sigh of water on sand and wind through trees. A hiss. The sound of sand being displaced and sliding downwards. The sound of movement. Edwin's hand went immediately to his waist, but his sword was not there. No man might carry a sword in Radwald's hall save the king himself and the door warden. Edwin slid his sea axe from its sheath, taking care that the long knife, as much a part of a man as his tongue, made no sound as he drew it. Crouching, so that he would not be silhouetted against the white of the breaking waves behind him, Edwin listened. It made sense. If Radwald had decided to hand him over to Æthelfrith, that the king should send one of his men to kill him now, in the silence and the dark, away from his sons and followers. There would be knives ready for Osfrith and Eadfrith, waiting upon the return of the assassin. And then their blood would flow, his line would be extinguished, and Æthelfrith could rule untrammelled. But he was not going to die. Not here, not now. Edwin slowed his breathing, bringing his suddenly racing heart back under control. With the sound of his own blood no longer blocking his ears, he concentrated all his attention into hearing and smell. He caught it then, a hint of the close, throat-clutching smoke that had filled the halls of Cadvan of Gwynedd. For a moment Edwin wondered why a killer should smell of incense, but the thought was driven out by the rustle of marram grass. There. The killer had moved south, to make sure he could not be seen against the fires of the king's hall. He had circled round and was approaching along the line of the dunes. Keeping watch, Edwin crouched low and felt with his hand. The ground to his right was hard-packed thick sand. He could move across it without setting off any sand slips. Holding the sea axe between his teeth, arms and legs wide to spread his weight, Edwin inched to his right. A glance showed a darker shadow, a valley between the sandhills that should provide cover. Edwin slid towards it, eyes scanning for any movement. He had been outside for many minutes, and his eyes were night bright, seeing by starlight. A pebble, half buried in the sand, shifted beneath his foot and then scuttled down the sandhill, its passage as loud in the silence as an oath. Edwin froze. Even in the open, it was hard to see a man at night if he kept absolutely still. But it was too much to hope that the assassin had not heard the sound. Noise, however, gave only an approximate location. Sight was needed for murder. Edwin knew he needed to be first to see his opponent if he was to have any chance of killing a man armed and ready. There! A shadow, darker than the rest, between the dunes. Did it move? He watched, eyes narrowed, but his other senses spread wide lest he be taken unawares through his own concentration. Yes, it moved. It was coming towards him. Edwin took the sea axe in his hand, covering it with his other arm in case it should catch the glitter of a star and throw it to the man who stalked him. His breathing was low, not even a whisper. His head as clear as the sky, and his heart calm. This was the peace before killing, the peace his father had taught him. The killer came slowly, steadily onwards, and as he approached, Edwin saw that he was cloaked and hooded. No sign of his face could be seen under the cowl. Edwin knew the fighting styles of Radwald's thanes well. If he could see the face, he would know how to fight him. The man was closer now, within 50 yards. But there was something strange about his approach. He walked without concealment, taking the broad path between the dunes while letting his feet crunch over the sand. This was the approach of an executioner, not an assassin. Surely, none of Radwald's men were such fools as to approach him thus, without stealth, if they meant to kill him. A diversion? Edwin sent his other senses questing, in the air and through the ground. But he could discern no other approach. The man was closer now, and though he still could not see his face, Edwin saw that he was not carrying a sword nor a shield. The starlight made no glitter on the pole the man dug into the sand as he walked, and unless he had blacked out the head, this meant he carried a staff, not a spear. Edwin's brow creased. Well, it was not unknown for an assassin to bludgeon a man to death, but a staff was as likely to break on a head as to break a head. Nor did the man have the build of someone who habitually used a cudgel, for he appeared tall but lean. Rather than having the bulk of bone and muscle and blood required of a man who wielded his strength as his main weapon. The man was near now, but set on a course that would take him across the shadows in which Edwin hid. At his closest, he would come within 5 feet. Edwin fingered the sea axe, keeping his wrist loose. A knife held in a tight wrist could be too easily jarred out of the hand if it struck armour or bone. He could slip out of the shadows and slide the sea axe into the man's armpit, where even if the blade missed the heart, the man would die from blood loss within minutes. Edwin waited, still, poised. The assassin closed. 10 feet. 9. 8. The assassin stopped. Beneath the cowl, the head turned. Edwin tensed, ready to spring. The man reached up and lifted the cowl from his head. He turned his face towards Edwin, but although it was uncovered, the night still concealed his features. My lord. Edwin stood, sliding up from his crouch as smoothly as a cat. The sea axe glittered in the starlight. What do you want of me? I know well why you stand outside the king's hall through the dark of the night. The man's voice was deep and strong, with the resonance of a scop, but his words carried a strange accent unlike any Edwin had heard before. Who are you? I know why you stand vigil by the sea through the darkest watches of the night, alone and troubled in mind, my lord. I know the evil that threatens you, the betrayer who will hand you over to your enemies, and I ask you this. What reward would you give the man who can save you from evil? What would you do for the man who persuades King Radwald to remain in his honour and not hand you over to his enemies? As the man spoke, his voice grew lower, quieter, but Edwin could still hear it clearly, for all the other sound had faded from the world. What reward would you give that man? Edwin, a tall man, looked up into the face of his questioner. For such a deliverance, I would give whatever was in my power to give. The dark man grasped his staff, planting it more firmly in the ground. But he made no move to approach closer. And what if that man prophesied, and prophesied in truth, that you would become king, putting down your enemies in their pride, and that you would ascend to a greater power than any of your fathers? A greater power than any king in these islands has wielded since the days of the emperors. Edwin could not tear his gaze from the shadowed eyes of the cloaked man. Who was he? Was he a god? If such things come to pass, I would give more generously than any king. Gold and jewels and horses. The stranger inclined his head. And if this man, unknown to you, who spoke in truth, revealing the paths of the future and the glory that awaits, also brought guidance for life and salvation? Knowledge unrevealed to your fathers and forefathers. Would you follow his counsel and obey his advice? Edwin fell silent. The stranger waited for his answer. "If such a man exists, who by his counsel can deliver me from my enemies and raise me to the throne, then assuredly I would follow his advice and wait upon his counsel." The cloaked man bowed his head. His lips moved, and Edwin heard the murmur of words in a language unknown to him. Then he raised his head and stepped towards the king. Placing his hand upon Edwin's head, he said, "Remember this. Remember well this sign I place upon your head. When you receive this sign again, remember our conversation and remember your promise." The cloaked man stepped back and raised his cowl to cover his head. "Who are you?" asked Edwin. "Are you a god?" The man, his face now lost again in shadow, turned away. "Remember the sign," he said, and walked into the shadows. Not daring to move, Edwin watched as the stranger merged into the night. Woden, the All-Father, wore a hood when he wandered the world. Edwin shivered. It was late summer and the night was not cold, but he shivered in awe and fear, and most dreadful of all, in hope.